called Be One, Make One. And by the way, isn't this a beautiful picture that Vern painted for us? And so, man, I'll have to show you some of his drawings later on. But yeah, Vern painted this. And then Michael, in awe of Vernon, 3D printed that same little picture right over there. And so we have two amazing pictures of Be One, Make One. We're kind of trying to drive it home. We have some clings on the windows too. And so, man, we've been taking this month to talk about being one and making one. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different thoughts right now about what it means to be a disciple or be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian. Some people think that being a Christian means, hey, I'm just going to go to church every week, and I'm going to make sure that I'm here early. I'm going to make sure that I say my howdy do's and wear my nice suit. Some people think it's just doing enough good things. Other people think that maybe it means that being a Christian means that I know the Ten Commandments, or maybe I know the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God. And so we've just really been kind of digging through what really being a Christian is, what being one is. And this is something that I think has been talked about since, oh man, for a long time. And there's been books that have been written about it, and people have studied it, and major theologians and philosophers across the expanse of time have looked for the answers. And so, man, we're just going to the Bible, and that's what we're going through. And so the last couple weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be one. Last week, specifically, I had 2 points. Do you guys remember my 2 points from last week? Oh, boy. Repent and believe, we talked about last week. And so, actually, this week, we're going to just continue along that trek, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. Last week, I think we read verses 13 through 15, and this week, we're going to continue reading. And so, in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, it says, "And as he," this is Jesus, "walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets." Isn't that interesting? So Jesus is walking along the seashore, and he comes across not one set of brothers, but two set of brothers. And he speaks to both of them, and both sets of brothers decide to follow him. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. I'm going to read that one more time so we can really let it sink in. "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" Look at their response. "Immediately," they immediately left their nets and followed him. "When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets, and immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." Lord, we just, again, pray that you open up our hearts to the things that you have for us today. God, may your spirit speak. May your spirit minister this morning. May you just change us from the inside out. May you transform us, God. And we are we're the clay, and you're the potter. And we just pray that whatever you want to do in us this morning, that you do in us this morning. God, may we not get in our own way, but may you be the king of our lives this morning in your holy name. Amen. Follow me. Can you say follow me? Follow me. Say it one more time. Say follow me. Follow me. All right. Follow me. You know, being outside of the Jewish customs and context, this might sound a little weird to us. But Jesus was actually doing something here that was a little bit countercultural. He's doing something that's a little bit different. Back in biblical times, If someone was interested in following a rabbi, if they were interested in following his teachings, let's say Brother Al was a rabbi. If I was interested in following his teachings, if I was interested in learning the arts of fishing and the arts of hunting and the arts of, what else are you good at, Al? Hunting, fishing, the bass playing, if I was interested in becoming proficient in each one of those things. What I'd have to do, if he was a rabbi and I wanted to become cool like him, is I would actually approach Brother Al and ask him if I could follow him. I'd be Al, listen, I know that you like to fish, and you like to hunt, and I like to play the bass, and I want to learn these things, and if you would be okay with it, I would love to follow you. And so the step was, if you were interested in following a rabbi, the student would approach the rabbi, the student would approach the master. And what's interesting here is that instead of the student approaching the rabbi, the student approaching the master, it was flip-flopped. And Jesus, if you look, read at the text, Jesus was the one who approached the students. He's the one that came to them. This was just something that was outside of the norm. This was something that was kind of strange. And he comes to them and he gives them an invitation to follow. And this isn't just an invitation to simply follow his teachings, but this is really an invitation to take it a little bit further, but to follow the rabbi. I don't know if you can kind of, it was more than just following the teachings. It was following the rabbi. And again, maybe today, this is kind of hard for us to wrap our mind around when we think about following someone. When we think about following someone, I think a lot of times we think about, maybe we're going to follow someone on Twitter. Does anyone have Twitter? Raise your hand. No? Is Twitter? Or no, it's called X now, isn't it? Anyone have X? Raise your hand. So following someone on X or Twitter, you just simply click the button, you follow them, and you get updates, and you laugh every now and then, and you have a good time. Or if you want to follow someone on Facebook, it's just simply clicking something, and you can see that, Sherry went to the library again, you know, or whatever you want to do. Like, you can see, like, you can follow someone on Facebook, and sometimes you'll follow them, and you'll catch that they're doing something exciting, and they're doing something fun, and you'll after you follow them, you can like it, or you can comment, or whatnot. Or I recently started following this guy on YouTube called Outdoor Boys. Have you guys heard of Outdoor Boys before? The guy who has the kids? Matt knows what I'm talking about. Yes, I love it. It's great. And he goes out and, he goes out camping, and he has this place in Alaska, and oh my goodness, I watch and I laugh, and Aaron's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, this guy, he's crazy. He's eating crab again, and he's, out there hunting and having fun with his kids. But that's not the type of following that we're talking about right now, okay? It's a little bit more in depth than that. It's more than just clicking a button. It's more than just checking in with someone once a week or a couple times a week, or checking to see the last time that they downloaded a video. Jesus was extending an invitation to Andrew and Simon and James and John to follow him. And it was beyond, it was really this, again, if you look at follow me, following Jesus. And this was a massive commitment. This was beyond merely clicking a button or, checking in every now and then. This would have been a lifestyle change. This would have been an occupational change. It was a daily walk. It was wherever the rabbi went, you would go. Wherever the rabbi slept, you would sleep. Wherever the if the rabbi went to went into the desert and decided to climb up a mountain, you would go into the desert with the rabbi, and you would climb the mountain with the rabbi. If the rabbi decided he was going to go jump in a dirty pond and go swimming, guess what? You would jump in the dirty pond and go swimming as well. Like, there was this, have you guys heard that song by Chris Tomlin, I Will Follow? Have you heard this song before? Do you guys know it? Do you know how it goes? Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Can you guys help me out? Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Where you move, I will follow. Yeah. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Where you move, I will follow. Where you love, I love. Where you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Yeah, like what Chris Tomlin was tapping into was the idea of following Jesus and following the rabbi. And I think sometimes we think, there was actually this guy who came up to Jesus once and he's like, listen, he's like, I will follow you wherever you go. He was a scribe in Matthew chapter 8. He comes up to Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said this, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I will follow where you go, I go. Where you serve, I serve. I will follow. I will follow. I will follow. I think there's a lot of us that perhaps know Jesus, but I wonder how many of us are actually following Jesus. How much of us are actually pursuing him? How much of us are actually going after him? You know, last week we talked about how when we follow Jesus, it begins with repentance. It begins with a change of direction. And then after that, we have to believe. We have to have faith in who Jesus is. So he comes to these disciples. He comes to Simon and Andrew and James and John, and he gives them the invitation to follow. He's like, hey, listen, guys, follow me. Follow me. But it's interesting because he gives the invitation to be one, but then take a look in the text. If you keep on reading it, after he says, follow, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. So it's interesting there. See how it doesn't end with following. I think a lot of times we think, oh, I'm just going to follow and that'll be it. It doesn't end with following. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Follow, be one, and you're going to make one. If you look at the Greek, it's actually, I will make you to become what you are not. I will make you to become what you are not. Now think about it. He's speaking to two sets of brothers, Andrew and Simon, James and John. What an interesting pick of these are his disciples, right? So out of the 12 disciples, we know that at least four of them are fishermen. What an interesting thing for him to pick. Four out of the 12 disciples are fishermen. 30% of the disciples are fishermen. We know that there's also a tax collector. There's also a revolutionary in there, Matthew, and then also Simon the Zealot. But we also know that 100% of his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, are all fishermen. They aren't religious leaders. They aren't prominent men. They aren't well-groomed or fancy. They aren't well-educated. They're just common men. They are fishermen. And he calls them, he says, follow me, and I will make you become what you are not. I will make you become, right now you're fishermen, but I'm going to make you become fishers of men. Fishers of men. You know, I think sometimes it's easy to follow. And actually, I brought an illustration today. Are you guys okay with an illustration? All right, here we go. I'm going to take you back in time. We're going to go back to 1996. The year, 1996. Is that what year you were born? Oh, my goodness. I feel old now. Oh, my goodness. So let's go back a couple years earlier, 1994. This was before autumn was around. Okay? Many, many years ago. I'm trying to think. I think I was in about maybe fourth or fifth grade, and my family and I, every year, would go up to northern Minnesota, and we had a cabin on a lake that was on a resort, and we'd have a great time. We'd go up there every year for a couple weeks in August, and we'd go fishing and hiking and all sorts of stuff, and I remember for the first several years we went up there, the cabin didn't have a shower. So we'd jump in the lake and swim in the lake, and then they modernized and they got a shower. We're like, oh my goodness, it's like, this is crazy. And so when I was just a small kid, I really enjoyed fishing. And what I would do is, I had no idea what I was doing, actually. So what I'd do is they had some docks, and one of the docks had a bench on it, and I would sit on the dock like so, and I'd take my fishing pole, and would someone mind holding this for me so that I can do this illustration? Can we give Paul a hand? All right. And Paul's a fisherman as well, and so what I'd do on the dock is I'd go out and I'd just cast, and then I'd reel it in, and I had a red and white daredevil spoon. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You've seen those daredevil spoons? Take it, and I'd just cast it out, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to catch a northern, and so, and again, I was just a young kid. I had no idea what I was doing. And I'd just sit on the dock for hours and hours. And I'd cast in the exact same spot over and over and over and over again. And I'd just cast, and I'd catch weeds, and I'd reel the weeds in. I'd take the weeds off, and I'd just cast. And there was this guy at our resort. His name was Kenny Branstead. He was an old guy. And he saw me, he'd sit, they had like a fish house, and he'd sit by the fish house. And he was like kind of in charge a little bit. He was the owner's brother. And he would, you know, if we needed gas for the boats, he'd fill up the boats. He would be down there talking with the old guys. And he'd see me there every day for hours, just casting off the dock, catching nothing. And he ended up coming up to me. He actually asked my parents first. He said, do you mind if I take, my dad isn't much of a fisherman. He's a computer programmer. My mom likes to kayak. She's not much of a fisherman. And he asked my parents, he's like, would you mind if I took Evan out fishing? And they're like, would you like to go fishing with Kenny? And I'm like, and get off the dock? I'm like, that's crazy. I've been fishing here all, you know, for weeks, and I've just, you know, casting and catching nothing. And so he said, all right, Evan. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Let's give Paul a hand. He's like, thank you, Evan. I was like, yeah, that'd be great. He's like, all right, Evan. He's like, well, let me show you where we can go. And so he had this nice boat. It had a 25-horsepower motor on the back of it. It was a Johnson. That's big for Minnesota, by the way. And we were on a small lake. He took me out. He took off my daredevil spoon that I'd been using for weeks. He took it off. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he put a hook on it. He put a sinker on it. He put a worm on it. And we go out on the lake, and he's like, all right, Evan. He's like, listen, you know, actually, what do you want to catch today? And I'm like, I don't know. I want to catch. I don't know. He's like, he was a panfish. And he's like, let me take you to a spot where we can catch some panfish. And so he's like, if you go over here, he's like, this is over by the pencil weed. He had a fish finder. I'm like, oh my goodness. Took me out at a fish finder, and he took me out along the pencil weed, and we dropped down, and I started catching fish one after another after another. It was like the highlight of my life. I couldn't believe it. And because I'd been sitting on the dock casting for probably the wrong lure for the wrong place, and suddenly I'm fishing with this guy who knew where to go. He knew how to bait the hook. He knew the depth. He knew where the fish were. He knew all those different things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it was revolutionary to me. And after he showed me where to go, I was like, Dad, we got to go out on the lake. And I knew exactly where to go. And suddenly, everyone was like, Evan, you're a fisherman. I'm like, I can't believe it. I can't believe that I, you know, I say all that to say that, man, when we follow Jesus, like when we're not following Jesus, like we can say that we're a fisherman and we can sit on the dock and we can do our thing over and over and over again. But man, when we follow Jesus, there's something extraordinary about what he does in our lives. Like, he doesn't want to leave us on the dock. He doesn't want to leave us on the shoreline. He doesn't want to leave us where we're at. But he wants to transform us into something different. You know, at least in my life, I feel like, man, when I choose to follow Jesus, man, he takes me to places that I never thought I would go. And he has me catching fish that I never thought I would catch. You know, I remember when I was in college and going to community college in Minnesota, I thought that my version of following Jesus was staying in Minnesota, staying in the cold, staying out in the country. I thought I was going to marry a Norwegian bride. There's Norwegians and Lutherans in Minnesota, Lutherans and Norwegians. And I thought, you know, my goodness, I'm going to stay in Minnesota. I'm going to find myself a big, did someone just spit? I'm going to find myself a beautiful Norwegian bride. And I'm like, what in the world? And God got a hold of me, and God reached my heart, and God pulled me somewhere else. And I remember I found myself in Missouri. And I remember telling the Lord, I'm like, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to follow you. And there's two things. I have two requirements of this when I follow you. Number one, when I follow you, I never want to work with students. I never want to work with students. Number two, I never want to work in the city. I never want to work in the city, and I never want to work with students. Those were my two requirements. But when I started following Jesus, when I started fishing with Jesus, guess where I found myself? Working with students in the city. Working with students in the city. And man, it's crazy because I feel like when you become a follower of Jesus, he transforms you. He changes you. He makes you to become something that you were not. Being a fisher of men means inviting others into the same life-changing relationship with Jesus that you have experienced. It's about sharing the gospel and loving the lost and seeking to bring hope and healing to a broken world. Jesus doesn't call us to simply sit on the dock and cast our line over and over and over again, but he calls us to step out into the deep and to fish for people. Listen, I feel like this scribe. It's like, listen, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you go. For me, I'm like, I'm going to follow you right back to Minnesota. I'm going to follow you right back to the old farmhouse. But listen, when we follow Jesus, he takes us to places that we would never imagine. He stretches us in spots that we would never even imagine. But when we are in his will, when we're following him, there's no greater joy, there's no greater fulfillment. You know, and I think sometimes sometimes we think, oh, I have to go somewhere crazy to be a disciple maker, to make one. Maybe I have to go to China, or maybe I have to go to Bangladesh, or maybe I have to go to Norway to visit my relatives and save some of my relatives in Norway. But the truth is, I think that there are people all around us who need to experience the love and the joy and the good news of the gospel. You know, sometimes it's like, God, just open my eyes to the things around me. You know, I think sometimes we just get in this routine where we're just doing our thing. When we realize, listen, my fish that I might be fishing for might be in my own house. It might be my kids. Maybe my kids have wandered from the Lord. It might be my parents. Maybe my parents have wandered from. It might be my coworkers. It might be someone just across the street. You know, like my shirtless neighbor Evan, who I met the other, you know, about a year ago. It's like there are opportunities all around us, man, if we're willing to follow him, because he'll make us become something that we're not when we follow him. Because when we get close to him, man, we start seeing the world different. We start experiencing the world different. We start seeing the hurting. We start seeing the lost. We start seeing those who are down and those who are out, we start seeing, oh my goodness, wait a minute. I've just been sitting on the dock all this time, casting my red and white daredevil spoon into the weeds for weeks. And man, when I get out into the lake, I can see that there is vegetation over here. I can see that there are pencil weeds over here. I can see where the drop-off's at. I can see the owner of the boat will let me look at the fish finder, and I can see that, wait a minute, there's opportunities right here for me to be one and for me to make one. For me to be a disciple, but also for me to make a disciple. You know, some of us have just been following, we've been doing the first part, but God is calling us to get off the dock, get into the boat, push out into the deep, and start fishing for people. And the good news is we have the best, I don't even want to call it bait, but we have the best bait in the whole world. We have the, you know, I remember I had an old, do you guys remember lure called the Bassarino? And it was this old wooden lure that was a floater, and it was great at hitting bass, and I don't think they make them anymore. This old guy told me they stopped making them because they were so good at catching fish, Evan, and I believed him, so I was just out there whipping it around all the time. And listen, we have the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And when we go out and we share the good news, we aren't just going by ourselves. But in Scripture, when Jesus left, he said, listen, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, which I am giving to you. Therefore, go and make disciples. You are going in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit when you go out and you proclaim the message of the kingdom. So don't let the devil get in your head. Don't let the enemy get in your head and tell you that, oh my goodness, I don't. You've been given all authority to be a disciple and to make a disciple, to be one and to make one. And so the question is, I guess when I look at Jesus speaking to the disciples, what was their response? What was their response? It says this, and the worship team can come back up. It says this was a big call, this invitation to follow. It says they immediately left their nets and followed him. How soon did they leave? Man. And after he'd gone a little further from there, so the first group, so Andrew and Simon immediately listened. When he'd gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them. Wow. And what did they do? They left their father in the boat, and they left the servants in the boat, and they went after him. We have the good news, you know? But the time is short. We have the good news, but the time is short. The call is imminent, and the call is now. What are you going to do with the news that you have? Man, we live in a world where the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We live in a world that's filled with corruption and filled with greed and filled with sin. And we know in the Bible that, as it speaks about in the book of Revelation, is that as the times get closer for the Lord's return, we know that things aren't going to get better, but things are progressively going to be getting worse. We know that there's going to be famines and earthquakes and all sorts of things, and in the end, many will be offended and all these things. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew chapter 24 as well. All these things are going to happen, and his return is imminent. I think we're seeing the birth pains of his return. What's your response? Will you follow? But also, will you move beyond the dock? Follow the Master into the deep. because he allows us to be a part of that blessing, to bring him glory, to bring him honor, to give him praise. God, today we come before you as humble servants, knowing that you are the great I am, knowing that you are the maker of heavens and earth. Humbly we know that, man, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Humbly we know that, man, the invitation is already out there for us to follow you. God, may we be people that listen to the call, but may we also be people that step out into the deep. As we sing this song one last time, God, may you just continue to minister and speak to us in your holy name.